Hey, this is Kevin from Kevin's Barbecue Joints, and welcome to episode 44 of the Kevin's Barbecue Joints podcast. In this episode, I talked to Andy Husbands. He is a restaurateur, has two barbecue restaurants in Massachusetts, plus two other restaurants. He also has multiple cookbooks. His most recent Pitmaster is gorgeous. An amazing collection of Pitmasters, plus the photography is just insane. One of my favorite books. You have to get that. I'll put links below to all of his cookbooks, all of his restaurants. He's made multiple TV appearances. You've probably seen him on Chopped. You've probably seen him on Hell's Kitchen. He has a barbecue team. Incredible guy. So forthcoming. We talk about his history, how he got into food, how he got into barbecue, his philosophy on life and mentorship. If you're liking these, please subscribe. That way you can get all the back episodes. I have a YouTube channel at youtube.com/kevinsbbqjoints. I also have a website at kevinsbbqjoints.com. But enjoy this. Good afternoon. How are you doing?
I'm really good. How are you doing?
I'm doing fantastic. What's today look like for you?
What a day you've asked.
Yeah.
Well,
perfect.
Dealing with My day has been pretty much pulling meat out of the smoker at 6 a.m. this morning, working on the rotisserie smoker because it decided to stop working about 7 a.m. this morning.
Oh, no.
And then running back and forth. I have a new smoke shop that just opened 2 weeks ago. Lunch is bonkers, so I had to be here for lunch. This is a different smoker here this one was running fine because it's brand new, but really just had to be here for, you know, the service part of it. It's just crazy.
So your life is a little hectic right now.
Yeah, no, it's good hectic. I mean, honestly, I don't always want to be pulling out meats at 6 a.m., and that's why we hire some really good people, but today was my turn, so it's good. I love it. It's fun.
And it's good that you can, that you know what you're doing, and, you know, you're able to jump in and do that. That's important.
Yeah, and honestly, you know, so the staff starts arriving at, like, 7:30, so that hour and a half by myself is just awesome. Like, I can just put my headphones on, crank some Led Zeppelin, and go nuts. You know?
for sure. Well, that's awesome. Well, how did you get your start? I wanna know what did you do prior to the restaurant world, or have you been in part of the restaurant world in your adult life?
How did I get my start in the restaurant world?
Or just restaurant to barbecue. I kind of want to go from that path.
Okay. I'm going to give you the abridged version.
That's fine. No, I'm sure it's long, I'm sure.
You know, I mean, in retrospect, it's all I've ever wanted to do. When I was in fourth grade, I did a demo on how to make donuts. I was making donuts in fourth grade.
That's so cool.
The question, you know, whose parents let them fry donuts in fourth grade, but... you know, so it's something I've always wanted to do. And when I was 14, I was able to get my first job. I was working at a place called Hazel's Bakery, making donuts, ironically, making breads. And I just loved it. I loved the family atmosphere. I loved the creativity, though they wouldn't allow me to do that, really, but more just watching and be involved, working my hands. So I decided to go to college for that. I went to Johnson & Wales University. And I not only loved the cooking stuff, which I found phenomenal, but I also loved the business aspect. I loved my law classes, accounting classes, marketing. Just I loved it. It was great. So kind of it's just a natural path for me. And then I've worked in a ton of places, and I got lucky enough to work for a guy named Chris Schlesinger.
Okay, I was going to ask about him.
Yeah, he wrote the book, The Thrill of the Grill, which is, if you're looking for a great grill cookbook, besides mine, his is the one to get. It's phenomenal, and you know, it just, I loved his flavors. And also, I'd want to point out that he was a guy who taught me how the restaurant world could be, meaning you could be treated with respect.
Gotcha.
You know, you could be paid pretty well, but you could be challenged and be creative. And man, he just really kind of got me into a great place of loving this industry.
And I think that's an important point that you make because the restaurant world, 75% of it or 80% of it is wonderfully nurturing, but there's that 20%. There's some tough chefs and there's some tough overall environments that are very stressful, and it's good. And I think that what you're talking about, it definitely builds a certain type of character.
Yeah. I mean, he really helped me grow as a human being, as a manager, as a chef, and I'm forever thankful for him.
And he wanted to see you thrive, it seems.
Yeah, I'd like to think so, and we're still great friends to the day, you know. And if he called me and needed something, I'd be there for him. He's a good
And when did you open your first restaurant?
So I left there and I worked a little bit more. I moved to San, well, I worked on a farm in Santa Fe to take a little bit of a break. In Abiquiu, right outside of Santa Fe in Abiquiu. Then I worked in San Francisco at a bunch of places. And then in 1996, I came back and opened up my first restaurant, Tremont 647, which is still open today.
Which is awesome.
Believe it or not. Yeah.
That's an incredible feat. How did you pull that off? That's amazing. Just
by hook and crook, as they say.
and then from there, what are you always backyard grilling? Were you always smoking meats? Was that something that was always in the back?
So that's a great question. And yes and no. You know, my father was your classic, you know, hamburger. The country style ribs, you know, so more ribs you grill and lather them, you know, and put a bunch of Casey's Masterpiece or whatever they had in the 1970s on it,
exactly.
Right? And burn those sugars, you know. But when I started working at the East Coast Grill, when I was like 21, I had my first pulled pork sandwich. Okay. I still remember it.
Oh, wow.
It blew me away. I had my first rib, like real barbecue rib out of the pit. I mean, this is many, many, many years ago, right? But, you know, it just blew my mind of what a craft it was to make great barbecue.
That's an amazing epiphany. I've had that same epiphany. I've talked to many people it kind of changes the way you think about barbecue instantly.
Oh yeah, I mean, it's pretty easy to make mediocre barbecue
for sure,
but to make world class barbecue, you know, I wasn't ready then at 21 to know how to do that. But man. So what I did is, you know, I opened this other restaurant, Tremont 647, which is more of an American bistro neighborhood restaurant.
Yeah.
And I then started competing with my team leader, Chris Hart. And we just started competing in barbecue competition on a lark. What do we love? We love to play cards. We love to hang out with our friends. We love to drink bourbon. And we love barbecue. So we love competing. So we're like, this is for us. This is the thing.
And that was IQ that you started?
Well, the team's changed names many times.
Okay.
But it is what became IQ.
And then so you guys, at the same time you had the restaurant, you also, were you in any major competitions or just kind of smaller competitions at first?
For the first 4 years, we're talking... is the New England Barbecue Society. So some of those competitions are big. It could be up to, you know, 40, 50 teams.
For
nothing
sure.
like you see, nothing like Memphis and May or, you know, the Royal Jack or anything Daniel. Like that. Yeah. Nothing like, you know, just that grandiose, but still really fun. And man, we got beat. I'm telling you, for the first 4 years, we got beat. We were like, oh man, if we could just maybe get to the Royal, wouldn't that be fun? You know, like it was like these dreams, but you know, they were really just dreams. But I want to say that barbecue, and I love competition barbecue, but it's way more than just about food.
For sure.
It's about culture. It's about heritage, family, celebration.
Oh,
and certainly we focused on a lot of that.
And then what was that? What turned it towards? Did you, in the back of your mind, as you were doing that, did you always think, hey, you know, I'm going to open up a barbecue restaurant too? Is that something?
No, not at all. Never. No, because this is my pastime. This is what I'm doing. This is my golf. This is my fishing.
Gotcha.
This is my weekend with my buddies. And it happens to be part of the food industry, which is really neat that I love food and what's what I do. And then my pastime has, you know, because my life's always revolved around food.
Mm-hmm.
So it kind of makes sense that I'm competing on the weekends or every other weekend in the summer, you know, in competitions.
So that was just how you kind of blew off steam. That was essentially.
Yeah.
But you're cooking more. But I think that's how it is for a lot of barbecue people. I think it's just for the people that are in competitions. It starts out as fun. And then as in when you probably hit a certain level, then you realize, hey, you know, we could win some of these or we can place in the top five. When was it? When did you really? When did your team evolve to the point where you're like, hey, you know, this is kind of crazy, or was it a shock when you guys for the Jack or for Memphis and good was it? Oh no, it was the Royal, right? That you placed for brisket, was it?
I'm trying to. It was the Royal. We got first place brisket out of 510 teams. You know, I would say around 2001, 2002, maybe around there. We started to get serious. And when I say we, I really should make sure that I'm very clear that it's Chris Hart is our team leader. And he really started to go on a tear. And he started to really focus on technique and developing technique You know, that means also practicing as well, and kind of taking us along for a ride. Every new competition, it's like, hey, look what I'm doing now with the chicken. Look what I'm doing here. And we're like, wow. Some of the stuff we argued to no end that we didn't like, though he was right. Some of the stuff, you know, it's back and forth, but that's what part of team mentality is. And so Chris is like a brother to me, basically. So, you know, we get into it every now and then, but, you know, we love each other. And then we started to get real good. You know, we started to, you know, kind of terrorize our region, you know, the New England Barbecue Society. We really started to do very, very well.
What do you think it is that sets different teams apart? Do you think it's just after a certain amount of time you get it? Because with competition barbecue, it's a specific, there's specific standards that they need for chicken, for pork, for brisket. But there's certain, what do you think? Is there something that you can put your finger on? Or I always try to figure it out in my head. But.
Well, I think it's we've written two books now on barbecue.
Yeah.
Wicked Good Barbecue really gave the exact way we won the world championships. I mean, these are the recipes that we used.
True.
And they're crazy. And then I don't suggest that for home cooking, because it's just such a crazy process, right? So, you know, to win, you know, I think it's like any sport. You know, it's a good sport for, you know, middle-aged, overweight men like myself. You know, it's practice. It's practice, practice, practice. Honestly, it's the reps. If you want to get good at anything, you know, what's neat about it is, unlike for you and I, you know, we're not going to become Michael Jordan. That's just not going to happen. We don't
sadly.
Yes, we don't have the physical being to do that, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But we do have the physical being to win the world championship.
Mm-hmm.
It's a mentality, you know, it's a, you know, tenacity and practice, 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 practice. So, you know, you're home tonight. It's what day is today? Whatever day today,
today Wednesday.
You could be home tonight, cook some chicken, practice, mm-hmm. you know, and it's so many different elements. I couldn't necessarily put my finger on one exactly thing.
And it's those thousands of hours, like that. And I've heard that with anything, with writing, with anything. It's just putting in the time, putting in the hours.
Malcolm Gladwell, right? 10,000 hours.
Yeah, it's a 10,000. That's what it was. I knew it was 1,000, 10,000, 10,000 sounds more right, for sure. Yeah. So then with your cookbooks, how did that come about? Were you always kind of in the back jotting down recipes, kind of putting together ideas? Or did someone come to you and say, let's put this together?
So, you know, as I said, my mentor is Chris Lessinger, and he, you know, I watched what he did. He partnered with an incredible writer, John Willoughby, and they wrote cookbooks. So it only made sense that I would do exactly as my mentor did. So I wrote my first cookbook, The Fearless Chef, which is all about kind of taking the fear out of the kitchen, you know, restaurant quality. It wasn't really barbecue, it was more like restaurant style food.
For sure.
I wrote that book with my friend Joe Yonan. He's at the Washington Post now. And that was, you know, that was a great experience. And but honestly, the book didn't sell super great. So you got to think of it like music, like a band. If their first album doesn't sell so well, no one's really looking to give you another contract. But I happen to know some, you know, this is after we won the world championships. An editor approached me, a publisher approached me and said, I got an idea. I want, and let's noodle this, and maybe you fit. And his idea was to write recipes that no one ever had written before.
Okay.
And he meant like courageous, difficult, challenging recipes. And I'm like, well, you know, I think I got some recipes for that. I think the world champion recipes would be certainly interesting. And we knew that, you know, and it was kind of this back and forth, and we realized that no one had really written a book, and still to today, and maybe I'm wrong, you can tell me, but no one's written a book on competition barbecue.
No one has. Not specifically, no.
Not that book is entirely competition, but the first chapter and some of the other stuff is about competition barbecue.
Yeah.
And so that really, you know, I mean, that book sold incredible, like really, really, really well.
And it's
and
gorgeous.
Thank you. And it helped us get more books. See, once you, like again, with the music analogy, you get one that sells, they want another one.
For sure.
So then we wrote Wicked Good Barbecue. Then we wrote Grilled to Perfection. I'm sorry, a Wicked Good Burgers, then Grilled to Perfection, 1, 2, 3, and then we said we're not going to write anymore. We were done. We're like, we are done, done, done. And then I contacted Chris a little bit later, and I'm like, Chris, I got another idea. And we kind of went back and forth, and we came up with the concept for Pitmaster. And Pitmaster is my favorite book I've written. I mean, it is, it's just, you know, it's an ode to our love of barbecue. It really is. And, you know, we're honored to have such great pitmasters in there, John Lewis, you know, Rod Gray. I mean, just
yeah, all the
really great pitmasters.
And what's best about it is that it's so honest. Like it feels like it's, if you want sort of a primer as to be a pit master and what it takes to be a pit master. I love all your books. I think I'll put links in the show notes to all of them. I think people should get them. And even Fearless, I've looked at it at bookstores. I honestly don't have it, so I apologize for that.
Pretty much how it's been, you know. So it's the least selling of all my books, but it is. The recipes are great. It's just, you know, an old book at this point. So, but Pitmaster, I absolutely adore. So I can't say enough about it.
And when did you open the barbecue restaurant? How did you, like, was that something that was Chris involved with that?
No. I mean, well, Chris is involved in everything I do. You know, we're best friends. We talk daily. Okay. In fact, we have a new project we're working on. That's about as much as I can tell you right now. But it's hopefully it happens. We'll see if it does. But we're pretty excited about what we're working on right now. As you know, I've had a restaurant for about, at the time, I think 19 years. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, I'm ready to do something new. And I partnered with this guy. His name is Brian Lesser. He's a restaurateur in the Boston area. And he's just a really smart dude. And we started hitting around ideas, and I was working on an izakaya, so like a Japanese pub. That's what I wanted to do.
Which is just killer, yeah.
And he's like, why aren't we doing barbecue? And I'm like, I had never honestly thought about opening a barbecue restaurant.
Wow.
I didn't even think about it. It was the weirdest thing. And I said, let me go back and talk to my people. Let me think about this. And 3 days later, I'm like, yes, that is exactly what, because I could see it. All of a sudden, it was like, you know, that light bulb, and I'm like, I can see this. And also what's happened is, because I had thought about it years ago, there's a lot of new equipment that's come about. Mm-hmm. And this new equipment, CVAPs primarily, enable you to keep barbecue consistent. And that is always, I think, a problem with barbecue restaurants. Mm-hmm. Is, you know, like out of the pit and it's great, but then how is it 4 hours later, you know?
Exactly.
And, you know, we you know, in Boston, rents aren't cheap.
No.
So we don't have that option of, you know, we're done kind of thing. I mean, we run out of brisket daily, we run out of ribs, but, you know, closer to the end of shift and people understand.
For sure.
But, you know, we're cooking fresh daily. But anyway, so Brian, you know, was like, yeah, let's do barbecue. I'm like, this is great. We opened up the smoke shop in Kendall Square in June last year. I'm now sitting in the smoke shop Seaport. Which we just opened up 2 weeks ago, and we have another one coming in April.
That is so killer. That is so awesome. I've heard great things. And so what are you guys serving at the smoke shop? And has it been the same menu the whole time?
So we have our core, and our core is the butts, the brisket, the ribs, you know, the chicken, and we kind of, you know, have that core kind of this, my, you know, but it's my take on it. And what I'm going to be clear about is, you know, if you're in Texas, a lot of times you're a Texas style, right? Mm-hmm. But because I've traveled the world, specifically the United States, and I've fallen in love with all barbecue, we kind of do my highlights of what I find is the best.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, our brisket is definitely like a tribute to Texas style. I'm not going to claim it to be Texas because I'm not from Texas, but my tribute. Mm-hmm. I think it's pretty good. I think it's very good. You know, our ribs are kind of a Memphis-y style, sort of, with a little Kansas City in there. Our pulled pork is definitely North Carolina style. You know, so we kind of do that. But then we do all these really fun, exciting specials. So, you know, fun stuff. Well, we could do, you know, we could do pastrami, or we could do, we do this, you know, this burger monster, which is like a smoked burger patty and comes with burnt ends and pulled pork and onion rings, and it's just awesome. So we have a lot of fun. And it's our customers obviously enjoy it. So
yeah, that's awesome. Do you guys ever do pork belly?
We do pork belly. We have an appetizer we run a lot. Mm-hmm. Sometimes we do pork belly burnt ends as well. We have bacon that we put on our salad sometimes or different things. Those are all house cured, house made. We're a scratch kitchen, so we're making everything. Even from like when you see we kind of have a Frank's Red Hot style sauce, we make that. We ferment our chilies ourselves.
Oh, that's so cool.
We're a scratch kitchen. You know, we make everything, you know.
That's awesome. So when did you I need to come. That's awesome. So you're the third location though, is it the same as a smoke shop or is it that's a little bit different or the
no,
one
no,
that's
no, it's just,
oh it is
a smoke shop.
Okay.
Oh yeah.
All right. Well.
Hell yeah. So I plan to open up a few of these and the response has been phenomenal and it's exciting and
awesome.
I love it. It's barbecue's a challenge, you know, and any pitmaster will tell you that, you know. Consistency is your challenge. You know?
Yeah.
But we're doing all right, so I'm pretty happy.
And training a staff to kind of, you know, to make it so that you can go to the next location and be comfortable. That's huge. But you've been doing that for a long time, so you've already you have that in you. Well, so what was it like being on Chopped?
The most recent Chopped?
The most recent or just in general.
Let's say first of all, I really like Megan. And I would consider her a friend. And I know people are really upset with me because I lost my mind. But Megan's awesome. And in fact, everybody is, you know, Craig and just every Lori, the people I compete against, I really like them. Unfortunately, I lost my, I just lost my ability to reason. And I just got really upset. And
you're passionate.
A little more than I should have, and it's regrettable. And I certainly took a beating on Twitter about that. But that's, you know, that's
But that's Twitter, too. That's people. That's.
I know. It's cool, though. It was fun. I mean, Top was cool. I love to compete, and I don't mind losing. It's a little more deeper what exactly happened. And you know what? I would just remind people that what you see on TV, it's TV, folks.
For sure.
You know, it's when they call it reality TV, it's not reality.
Exactly. Everything's edited they have a storyline even with all the Kardashians and all those shows. When I worked at Smoke City Market in Sherman Oaks, the people came, like Rob Kardashian came to the restaurant, and it was supposed to be his favorite restaurant. He had never been there in his life. Like, so they create an environment. So yeah, it's a reality TV. So how many different shows have you been on then? Losing track.
For national, I was on Hell's Kitchen. Mm-hmm. I was on Chopped. I've been on like CBS Morning Show and all stuff.
Of course, yeah.
I was Chris Hart's assistant in Pitmaster when he competed against Johnny Trigg.
Oh, okay. That's why. Okay. Yeah. So what should people know about you that they might not know, other than the whole stupid Twitter thing? like, what do you go around? Do you go to when you travel? Do you go to other barbecue restaurants?
Do you
have any favorites or any interesting ones that you've hit recently?
Yeah, I mean tons. I freaking like I'm a fanboy for Bill Durney over there at Hometown in Brooklyn.
Yeah.
I mean, that guy's he's the man, and I just really like him, and I think what he does is very special, and I think that's great. We do a barbecue tour with me and my guys pretty much every January.
Oh, that's cool.
I think we're still working on where we're going. So last year we were in Charleston. Home Team was awesome. They were so great to us, and I really enjoy them. John Lewis was just... I mean, he's just a great guy. He's in my book, of course.
Yeah.
And, I love his place. The year before, we went to North Carolina and got to spend some time with Sam Jones. So, you know, I think he's doing what he does there is, you know, this. It's just so cool. Like, you know, what's interesting, and is you have to understand, it's really interesting for a guy who grew up in the Northeast. It's a whole nother world.
Oh, yeah.
You know, and so when I get to see, you know, a third generation cooker like, pitmaster like Sam Jones, it's like, wow, this is so fascinating. It's just a, it's so cool.
No, it's for me too. I come from Los Angeles, and my I would be a fourth generation furniture salesman, like for hospitality. But then I was helping my dad, and I would go to North Carolina, and I went to Lexington Barbecue for the first time, and that was an epiphany.
Yeah,
it changed my life. Yeah. I thought, what have I been eating my entire life? It just
sure. But I'm also a big fan of Smoke in Dallas, mm-hmm. though not necessarily a traditional barbecue restaurant by any means. But Tim Byers, I love what he does down there with his own sausages. I love that stuff. So he's real talented.
Do you ever make your own sausage for anything? Or do you?
Oh yeah. Oh yeah. We got a hot link. I'll put my hot link against anybody's. Come and try. It's good. It's real good. We got a little fresh sage in there. Oh. It's like this multi-level spiced thing. I adore it. It took me about a year to develop that recipe, but man, I'm real happy with it.
Wow, that's so cool. I want to try that too. Well, I just want to thank you so much for taking the time, and thanks for kind of rearranging your schedule.
Of course.
We've been hit and miss, but I definitely appreciate it. I love what you do, and I definitely will have to visit all of your restaurants. And I'll put links to all your books, to all your restaurants, to everything, because you have a lot going on, and people should know about it. And your passion is amazing, and it's appreciated. And thank you so much. I hope you have a great day, and have a Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year too.
Thank you. You too.
Thank you, Andy. Take care.